Join us now for an encouraging word from a member of our teaching team. Here's the message.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Woo! God is in this place. God came out on Wednesday night. How about that? He showed up tonight already. Overflow. I love the theme for your year this year. Overflow. What an awesome theme. And I believe God is going to just kick it off tonight with overflow in this room. He has placed a word in my heart to share with you, and I believe God is going to do some amazing things. Amen? I want to say a big thank you to Pastors Greg and Dina Thurstonson for having me. I count it a high honor to stand behind, as we used to say back in the day, this sacred desk. Amen? That's exactly how I feel about it. It's a high honor to get to be at your new church. What's up, Dominion? Awesome. I'm so happy and proud for you guys. God is going to do some amazing things through Dominion Church. Amen? Everybody shout overflow.
Overflow.
Overflow. I believe God is going to just do amazing things in that vein tonight. I'm going to talk to you about faith tonight. I want to start out with a quote. I love quotes, and I don't want y'all to get quiet on me. Where's my loud people? All right. I need y'all to help a sister out, okay? Don't y'all get quiet. I love quotes. Quotes speak to me. I just get it in a quote. And I want to start out with a quote tonight to let you know the direction that we're going to go in. And the quote is this, and I'll talk a little bit more about it on into my message. But it's this: fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Have you ever had anything happen in your life that made you feel afraid? I got my hand up, okay? Let's be honest in the room. Things come our way sometimes, and they cause us to be frightened and alarmed and dismayed and fearful and wonder, okay, God, where are you at? But we're going to find out where God is at tonight. Amen? Job said in 22:28 that you can declare and decree a thing and it is established for you. So I want us just to take a moment right now, and I want you just to take ownership for the row that you're sitting on right now. And I wish somebody had the boldness to just look down your row and say, God, I declare and I decree tonight that overflow is going to happen on my row tonight. Would you do that right now? Would you declare overflow? An overflow of faith on your row. We're going to get rid of some doubt in the room. I don't know how you could have any doubt after that worship. Woo, Lord have mercy. I got the victory and everything will be. You kind of got to move your shoulders right when, you know, you do. I love that song. I felt it. Amen. Romans 8:28. I want to talk to you about faith tonight. We're going to set this conference on the right track. We're going to get out of all the fear and all the doubt out of the room so this thing can just go up from here. Amen? Romans 8:28 says, and we know. Look at somebody and say, we know. We know that all things. Oh, you're helping me. All right. All things work together for the good to them that are called according to his purpose. In other words, all things are fitting together in his design, in his divine plan for us. Come on, somebody. It may not be what you wanted to happen. It may not look like how you wanted it to look, but God said all things work together for our good. You know, when preachers want to sound smart, they look up the Greek and the Hebrew. And so I wanted to look smart for you tonight, so I looked up the Greek for all. And guess what it means? You looked it up too. Oh, I believe that all things are going to work out for our good. Amen. Let me set this up for you tonight with a couple of stories out of Scripture. Abraham looked at Lot and said, "Is not the whole land before thee? If you will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you want to go to the right hand, then I will go to the left." Now let's switch over to the miracle at the Red Sea. And it's recorded like this: "And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them, on their right hand and on their left." The book of Leviticus declares, "The priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand." Judges 16 and 29 says, "Then Samson took hold of the two pillars, the one with his right hand and the one with his left hand." The wise man said in Proverbs 3:16, "The length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor." The Lord spoke to the prophet Ezekiel and said, "I will smite thy bow out of your left hand, and I will cause your arrows to fall out of your right hand." Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Whatever you do when you're giving, don't let your right hand know what your left hand does." And we remember the story of the two thieves in Matthew 27, the two thieves that were crucified with Jesus. One was on the right and the other was on the left. So I'm sure you have picked up on the fact by now that the Bible has a lot to say about the right hand and our left hand. Amen? Now, I know there are plenty of scientific studies to prove what I'm about to share, and I'm sure there are many genetic and hereditary reasons why we are the way we are. Well, so, and there's no telling how many millions of dollars have been spent, because you know that's how the government does it, and countless hours have been worked to try to prove how many people are right-handed and how many people are left-handed. But tonight, I'd like to conduct my own survey. So if you are a right-handed person, would you please stand? Wow. Oh, y'all are going to fit right in with my sermon. You may be seated. If you are a left-handed person, would you please stand? All right. Okay, you can be seated. Now, see how easy that was to figure out all those stats? It's been proven that somewhere between 75 to 80% of all people are right-handed, and about 20 to 25% of all people are left-handed. Further research proves that few people are truly ambidextrous. Ambidextrous is defined as using both hands with equal ease. Now, if you are ambidextrous, would you please stand? Come on, stand up. That's awesome. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 people are ambidextrous. Very, very cool. So I want to preach to you tonight about ambidextrous faith. You can say, what in the world does our left hand and our right hand have to do with our faith? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. We know that according to Scripture, real faith comes from God, right? God said that He has given every man the measure of faith. And then it says in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So in order for our faith to work correctly and to accomplish what He sent forth to accomplish, it must proceed from the very essence of God. Every one of us in here today knows when faith is absent. Amen? Have you ever walked into a church service? Pastor, have you ever preached in a church service where there was little faith? Come on. You know when it's not there. You know when it's not there. It's tough sledding, and it's hard to preach, and it's hard to live, and it's hard to move and breathe and exist when you have no faith. But you also know when faith is present. I felt faith in this room. But I also know that there's some people in this room struggling with their faith, or God would not have sent me along the way to come and speak to you tonight about it. When faith is mixed with the word, it almost becomes tangible in the room. Have you ever been in a service where the preacher was preaching and your faith just come together with the word, and you could literally feel like you could believe God for anything? I attended a conference a couple of years ago, and the pastor was, the minister that was preaching at that conference was preaching on faith. And he got to talking about his mom. And he had those kind of stories where when they were growing up, they didn't have food on the table, and mama got to praying. And all of a sudden, somebody knocked on the door, and there was food sitting on the door. Those kind of stories, you know? None of us have had to live that way. Come on, somebody. That kind of story. He got to telling about his mom and how she would believe God for anything. She would believe God for a 5-pound bag of flour just as easy as she could for a tank full of gasoline to get him down the road. He said his mom could believe God for anything. She would go to the grocery store with zero money, but knowing that she needed food on her table. And she would say, God, I'm going to go fill up my grocery cart by faith. And I'm going to walk up there and I'm going to check out just like I've got the money to pay for it. And she would get up there and they'd start to ring her groceries up. And so far, nothing has happened. And then all of a sudden, when they would get the last item run through the machine, he said that his mama would be praying under her breath. And he said, I saw it with my own eyes. A guy stepped up from out of nowhere and said, I'd like to pay the bill for this lady and her children. And I'm telling you, by the time that guy got through telling his stories about his mom's name, her nickname was Blue. And we labeled that sermon that night, Blue Faith. When God turns your faith blue. And that's how he preached. And I'm telling you, faith was so high in that room that night, you felt like you could just give me something to pray about because I can pray it through. That's how you felt. And that's how it is when faith is really in the room. When faith shows up in a service, it doesn't matter who's preaching. It doesn't matter if it's a conference or if it's a regular Wednesday night service or if you're in a brand new building or at a storefront. Come on. When faith shows up in the room, we can believe God for the impossible situations. And I feel like God has come to meet with us tonight to help flip that light switch of faith on for somebody in their life tonight. Somebody that's been walking through a hard place and you are just needing God to renew your faith in this room. Can somebody shout amen? God is going to do it. God's going to do it for you tonight. He sent me here with a mandate to preach you out of doubt and into faith tonight. And I'm determined to do what he's called me to do. I'm not talking about a wish list or a falling star or blowing out a candle on a birthday cake. I'm talking about a God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and go way past whatever I've asked him for. That's how my God works. Somebody shout overflow. You see, faith is essential. Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the reason why we need faith so desperately is because we desperately need God. And God has connected himself to our faith. In Mark 9, Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible. I looked up that phrase, all things. Guess what it means? All things. Matthew 19 and 26 says, with men, this is impossible. But with God, somebody shout, all things. There's that phrase again, all things. No wonder the devil is trying to disrupt and discourage and destroy our faith. Hey, you wanna see the devil show up and try your faith? You step out and build a new building. Well, you think the devil's happy about all this? Oh, no. You step out and you start sharing vision with the house. And you say, God's taking us there. And the devil will send every roadblock he can in the way to make you doubt. Did I really hear from God? He will do everything he can to disrupt and discourage and destroy your faith. We live in a world full of doubt, full of unbelief, full of immorality, full of perversion. And the last thing that we need in this world full of faults is for the church to be empty of faith. Somebody shout, God, let Dominion be a church of overflow of faith. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. No wonder Jesus said in Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith in the earth? The devil's working overtime, doing everything in his power, pulling out all the stops. He's trying to steal and sabotage our ability to believe. Some of you are here today and your faith has been attacked. The devil has waged war on your life. You've been dealt some hard blows. Come on. It seems like everything that can go wrong has gone wrong. You feel like singing that song, what's going on? Woo! Amen. Some of you showed up in here today running on fumes, so to speak. Your faith account is empty. You've been writing NSF checks for a long time. Non-sufficient faith. Come on. But something's going to happen before you go home tonight. Somebody is going back home with their faith back. You're going to drive back home with faith. You're going to walk back into your house that you walked out of with a lack of faith. You're going to walk back in your house with a faith filled heart, believing God is going to come through. I call him Jehovah Nicotam. That's how he works for me. Woo. You need to look the devil right in the eye and say, we will not stagger at the promises of God. You just need to believe that all things are possible. I rebuke every lie of the devil, every demon of doubt. I believe that it's time for some signs and wonders. All things. Clap your hands, church, and shout under God. All things are possible. All things. All things are possible. All things are possible. Nothing's too hard for my God. Oh, hallelujah. All things. All things. Overflow, overflow. Hallelujah. Oh, we declare it and decree it. How many of you grew up poor? How many of you ever experienced something like this where your parents or your grandparents, they were poor, they were out of money, they didn't have the money to get some gas in the car, and the tank was on empty, but they had like three quarters and a couple of dimes and some pennies, and they were digging it out of the car seat and out of the ashtray and out of the bottom of their purse, and you pulled up to the gas station and bought like $1.35 worth of gas. Anybody ever had that happen? Come on, I've been there. I remember my grandparents, once they got past that, my grandparents lived like this from that point forward. They would not let their vehicle get below a half a tank. I think it just scarred them to have to get $1.35 worth of gas. You know how that makes you feel when you have to go in and pay with coins? You don't even have a real dollar bill to go in there with. Come on. And I remember thinking, if I ever get to the place where I can fill up, I will never not fill up. I will never again not fill up. In fact, my husband is so bad about this, he sloshes some of it out. When he fills up my car, he gets it all down the side of the car. Just aggravates the fire out of me. But that's why God used that when I was studying for this. He said, that's what overflow is like. I'm determined to have overflow. Not just in my gas tank. I'm tired of coming in here on Sunday morning and filling up just to get me to Wednesday night. And then coming here all drained out, and the praise team has to get up here and say, we got the victory and everything will be all right. Try to convince you. Come on, come on, get back on board. God's going to do this. I'm tired of not filling up. I'm determined to stay in an overflow situation with my faith. I will never not fill up again. Look at somebody and say, you need to fill up. You need to fill it up tonight. Woo! I will never not fill up. I'm going to let my faith fill up, and then I'm going to let it slosh out. Woo! Overflow. 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 David said, my cup runneth over. Woo! Somebody needs to leave here full. Doesn't matter what's happening around you. You need the revelation that our God is in control. And that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to be the same tomorrow that he was today. He's going to be the same today as he was yesterday. Come on, church. He is our God and he changes not. It might be cray cray on your left hand. Ooh, can I get a witness? And the enemy might be attacking you on the right hand. But I have ambidextrous faith. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 on my right hand. But God said it shall not nigh come nigh unto thee. I just believe his word. Somebody shout yes. So the Bible talks a lot about the right hand of God, and we're quick to mention it, but it also talks about the left hand as well. The right hand of God is symbolic of God's authority and his power. The Bible says that Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, and that is symbolic of authority and power. He conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave for you. And for me, he has the authority and the power on his right hand. And he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. But there's this one little verse that grabbed my attention in Job 23:9. And it says in Job 23, y'all know what Job went through, right? Job says, on the left hand where he does work, but I can't behold him. On the left hand where God is at work, but I can't see him working. I don't see anything changing. It looks like everything's staying the same. It looks like it's going to be curtains for me. Come on. Anybody ever been there? On the left hand where he does work. On the left hand where he does work, yet I cannot behold it. So on the word left in the Hebrew there, because you know I studied my Greek and my Hebrew, it means in the dark place, in the dark time where he's working, but I don't see him working. So God has power and authority with his right hand, but he works in the dark with his left hand. We serve an ambidextrous God. His right hand is where you see it happening. You see it. You know it doesn't take a lot of faith when you can see God work. Oh, we can shout and we can dance and we can sing and we can clap and we can celebrate because God is moving and we can see breakthrough taking place and we can see him acting in little ways and we're starting to put the pieces of the puzzle together. But what about those times when it doesn't look like anything's changing? And we have prayed until we're blue in the face. His right hand is what you can see. It's where the light is. But do not mistake for 1 minute and believe that God is only a right-handed God or that he favors that hand over the other. When you can't see him, remember he is ambidextrous. When everything looks dim, church, he's still in control. God's got this. When everything looks dark, that's where he's working. There's a scripture that talks about while we are waiting, God is weaving. Weaving. Let me give that scripture to you. Psalm 27 and 14. It says, wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. And that word, Hebrew word, wait, means to bind together by twisting. In other words, while you're waiting, God is weaving a plan together for your situation. You can't see it because he's working on the left. He's working in the dark, and it doesn't look like anything's coming together. But while you're waiting, God is weaving a plan together for your life. He's got the power with his right hand, and he's working in the dark with his left hand. And if you find yourself in a night season, church, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't cave in. Hang in there. Hang on, because God is working all things together for our good. That's where God works best. Our text says all things. Everybody shout all things. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the night comes when no man can work. But just because man can't work doesn't mean God can't work. And maybe that's where God's trying to get us to anyway, where we can't do it, but he can. Genesis 1 and 2 says, starting it all out in the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness, somebody shout darkness, was on the face of the deep. But look what the next line says. But the Spirit of the Lord began to move over that darkness. Before there was light at the right hand of God, there was the hidden unseen left hand of God's Spirit moving through the darkness. Ambidextrous. They were standing at the Red Sea. Pharaoh was in pursuit. The sun went down, the Bible says. The Bible says that God caused that east wind to blow all night with his left hand working in the dark. But the next morning, when they woke up, things had changed. Things had changed, and they walked across on dry ground. That was his right hand, ambidextrous. It was dark. It was midnight. And Paul and Silas were stuck in a jail cell, and it looked like everything was falling apart. But they decided to sing and praise and worship God. They couldn't see God working on their behalf. But as they begin to sing and praise and worship God, on the left hand, God was working for them. And all of a sudden, an earthquake came. And that was the right hand, where God was moving through those people's worship during that left-handed experience. People, we can't just have faith after the Red Sea. We can't just have faith after God said, let there be light. We can't just have faith after there's been a revelation of his power. That would just be right-handed faith. But we need some people in this church with ambidextrous faith. When we don't see a way out, when we don't know how it's going to work out, we can't see how anything is coming about or anything's working for us. We don't see proof of anything. But we know that we know that we know that we know that God is in control. And we can trust him and know that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think. I wish somebody would clap their hands and praise God, because he is able and he is willing. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Blessed be your name, Lord. Woo! We don't need to wait for the earthquake before we sing. Don't you wait for the earthquake before you sing, church. Don't wait for the revelation before you shout. It's dark. It's dark, but God is in control. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Ambidextrous faith. Oh, ambidextrous faith. Ambidextrous faith. Overflow. We need to quit feeling sorry for ourselves. Quit making excuses. Quit complaining and start believing. No matter what happens over here, and no matter what happens over here, that I've decided all things. Yes, it's dark over here in my life. I got some situations. And I have seen God work and come through on this side. Come on. But I'm going to believe God that everything that I'm coming up against now is going to work out for my good. I need somebody to be a Moses and an Aaron and a Hur for me. I need three guys. Come up here. I want to do a demonstration for you. Three guys. The children of Israel would have suffered. The children of Israel would have suffered great defeat had Moses just had his right hand up. All right, you're Moses, guy in the middle. You're Moses. The children of Israel would have lost the battle if he had just been like this. He had to have both hands lifted up. Now you do that for a while and see how easy that is. Come on. All right, Moses, you just hang out there. You're Aaron and you're Hur. He is a Hur. He is a Hur tonight. If Moses would have just had his left hand up, the children of Israel would have suffered defeat. Moses had to have both hands up. Amen? Exodus 17 and 12 says, but Moses' hands grew heavy. His hands grew heavy. Anybody ever had some heavy hands? You're just tired of fighting that battle. You're over it. Right? You ever been over it? And the Bible says that Aaron and Hur, in the King James Version, said they stayed up his hands. I like the way it puts it. In other words, they held up his hands. Oh, help us out, Aaron and Hur. They actually let him sit down in the Bible, but you got to stay standing right now. They stayed up his hands. Moses' hands were heavy. And I believe that somebody in this room tonight has heavy hands. You walked in here and it was hard for you to worship. It was hard for you to sing, we got the victory. Because it didn't look like you got the victory. It doesn't look like any breakthrough is happening at your house. Come on. You walked in here with your head down and your faith down, but something has happened in this place, and you're going to leave here like this. Amen? Do you believe it? I know your hands are heavy, but Jesus is here to help you. I know you're tired of fighting the battle, but Jesus has showed up here on Wednesday night to help you out. You came in here with heavy hands, but God is about to stay up your hands. You walked in here ready to throw in the towel and just check it to everybody and say, I'm out of here. I'm done with this. I'm over it. I'm moving on. But God has showed up here tonight to help you lift up your hands. I feel faith coming in the room right now. God is going to do something for somebody that will open up your heart and receive it in this room tonight. The right hand of God is his power and his authority. The left hand is where he works in the dark. You need to remember that because it took Aaron and Hur to have the victory. The name Aaron means light bringer. You see what side he's on? He's on the right side, in the light, where it's easy to see God is working. God's coming through. God is turning this thing around for me. But the name Hur, now y'all don't laugh at him. It means a hole. The name Hur means a hole or an underground prison. Look at somebody and say, that's a dark place. It took both Aaron, the light bringer, and Hur, the dark place. The light and the darkness to hold up Moses' hands. The good things and the bad things. All things. All things. All things working together for his good. Come on, clap your hands. All things. Shout all things. All things. Thank you, guys. We only preach about Aaron, but I'm going to preach about that hole for a minute. Amen? Because somebody showed up in here today feeling like you're in a hole. And God spoke to me at my house while I was waiting on my husband to show up, my chauffeur, to drive me on over here to my preaching assignment. I had a personal driver. Come on. But God, I was praying in my house. Everybody had left. I was there by myself, and I walked through my whole house, and I felt God direct me to a couple of people tonight, that he is going to do something major, that this is the word I hear, a turnaround. There's going to be a turnaround in somebody's situation tonight. There's going to be a turnaround. Somebody in this room walked in here today feeling like you're in a hole. Your bank account's in a hole. Your marriage is in a hole. Your family's in a hole. Your health is in a hole. Your finances is in a hole. Your life is in a hole. But God is going to use that hole, that dark place, that prison where you cannot see that God. Have you ever been to a place where you told God, you don't even know my name? I can't see you working at all. It's been so long that since I've seen you work, God, that I don't even think you remember who I am. I've been there. But I remember a guy named Joseph that found himself in a hole that his brothers, his own family, threw him off into. And then I heard God say to Joseph a little later, he said, Joseph, you know that hole that you got thrown into? He said, I'm going to take what the devil meant for evil, and I'm going to turn it around for your good. God is going to use that hole that you found yourself in. Yes. God is going to use it. Praise team, y'all come on back. God's about to do something in this place. It's going to take Aaron, and it's going to take her. It's going to take all things working together for good, the light and the dark place, ambidextrous faith. Our text says all things. Ambidextrous, using both hands with equal ease. The right hand and the left hand. If you're tired of the devil having the upper hand, come on. Anybody tired of the devil having the upper hand? I would dare say that 70 to 75% of Christians have right-handed faith. That means they have faith after they see that God has worked. When they see the hand of God actually moving in their life. I would say that 20 to 25% of all Christians have left-handed faith. They can have faith in the dark times. When God can't be seen, but they know. You cannot shake them from the fact that they know that God is going to work it out. But you saw how few people stood up that are ambidextrous people. What was it, 5 or so? We need more ambidextrous faith. Amen? I believe that we're going to leave out of here tonight with some ambidextrous faith. I believe we are. I want to share just a personal testimony, and then we're going to pray. I want to build your faith from something that I personally experienced. We've talked about the Word of God and the stories in the Word of God where God came through, but I want you to know that he has done it recently, just what he did in his Word. A few years ago, my husband's dad, his family, they found themselves in a difficult financial situation. And they had a whole lot of property. They had a construction home, family construction business that they owned. And they were about to go under. And so my husband felt led to step in and help his father out. Honorable thing to do, to step in and help his father out. So he moved all of that property that his dad had, I don't know how many acres, a gazillion acres it felt like, that he took over. So that put a great burden, stress, and a huge financial burden on us personally. But we were trying to save his mom and dad from losing everything that they had ever owned. And so we rock along for a couple of years, and he tries to sell it. And the bank that owned the note on it were very difficult to work with. And he had pieced it out, some of the property. He had so many acres that somebody wanted to buy. He had a lot over here that somebody wanted to buy. And he had it all sectioned out, but the bank would not turn loose of any section of it. They demanded that he sell all the acreage. Do you remember the number, the acres, that the whole kit and caboodle, how many? 80 acres. They demanded that he sell it all together in one lump package. And he couldn't find a buyer. In the area that it's in, there's just nobody there that needed 80 acres. And so that began to wear on Sister Girl right here. Come on. And I began to get off into doubt and unbelief. And I got mad at my husband and got angry, and I got really resentful that he had gotten us into this situation and that we were struggling with this. And I began to talk about it to friends and to people that knew about the situation, and I would talk negatively against my husband. And that quote that I opened up the service with, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. One night, one Sunday morning, my husband was preaching, and he was preaching on faith. And I was sitting right over here, and he used that quote in his sermon. And when he did, I felt the Holy Spirit do this. Just that. And I heard him say in my spirit, Susan, that's you. You have contaminated faith. You have allowed this situation to just overwhelm you, and you cannot believe me to work this thing out. Along about that time, the bank had called the note on the 80 acres. There was no way that we could pay that whole bill. There was no way. And so I was living in great fear. God, we're going to go under. We're going to lose everything. We're going to be wiped out. What kind of an example is this as ministers and pastors? And how is this going to look? And all those things that you know would run through your mind. And that's when God said, Susan, you've got contaminated faith. And so the pastor's wife of CT Church responded to the altar call. I mean, you know, it's a glorious day when the pastor's wife gets saved. Come on. So I came up, and there was a lady there in the altar that I'd actually, like the day before, just unloaded on her and just told her just how upset I was and how aggravated and just mad. And so I walked up to her, and I said, before you pray for me, I want to apologize to you for saying everything that I said yesterday to you about my husband, about this situation. I was wrong to say it. I was speaking doubt. How many of you know the power of life and death is in your tongue? Your words. So I apologized to her. Then I repented to God. And my husband was walking across the front of the building. And he was right over there. And I was over here. And I turned around. I saw him coming. I went over there. And I apologized to my husband. And I said, never again will I speak doubt and speak negatively about you. I honor you and your decision to do this, and I know that God is going to make a way. So he and I made a pact together. He said, let's pray together about this situation. And he said, let's start calling that property S-O-L-D. That's how we pray. God, we call that property in Arkansas S-O-L-D. Every day, we would pray that together. I'd pray it when I was in my car or at church. If it came across my mind and I thought about it, I would say that out of my mouth, confessing it out of my mouth. Instead of fear and doubt and unbelief and aggravation, I was calling that property S-O-L-D. So at the first of the year, a couple years ago, about the first of the year, we had been praying that for several months. God was working over here in the dark, but I couldn't see him working. But I just kept praying, God, I call that property S-O-L-D. So one day, we're driving home, and where we lived at that time, you had to drive over this huge bridge that's like an overpass over a train track. And as I come up on the top of that bridge, I'm meeting a vehicle, and the vehicle ran over something in the road, and it started flipping up in the air like this, just over and over. And all of a sudden, it comes across over in my lane, and it's just a piece of paper. So I wasn't alarmed, but it was flipping right over in front of my car. And just as I got right up to it, this sign is what was flipping up in front of my, in my car. I was stunned. I knew God was speaking to me through this sign. S-O-L-D. How many of you know what that did to my faith? Because I could see it now, right? Ooh, I said I just saw the right hand of God. So I drive on and I go to the house and I walk in the house and my husband happens to be there. And I walked in the door and I said, Don Norden, you are not going to believe what just happened to me. I explained what happened, and he said, Susan, that was the audible voice of God to you. I said, I know. I felt God speaking to me when I saw this sign just sit right in front of my car and just fall down on the ground. He said, did you stop and pick it up? I said, no. He said, why didn't you stop and get that? I said, well, there was cars everywhere. And he said, hang on, I'll be right back. He jumped in his car. And it had blown up on the bridge. He got out and stopped traffic and walked up on that bridge to get this sign. And we hang this sign in our garage from that day forward. He had to take it down tonight. You can see where the holes are at, where we've screwed it into the wall of our garage just as a reminder that the next time there's a dark situation in my life and I can't see God at work, he's done it before, and he'll do it again. Come on, stand with me all over this room. Psalm 54 says, shout for joy, O barren one. She who has not given birth, break forth into joyful shouting and rejoice. She who has not gone into labor, for the spiritual sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the site of your tent to make room for more. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings and do not spare them. Sounds like overflow. Lengthen the tent ropes and make your pegs or your stakes firm in the ground. For you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will take possession of nations and will inhabit deserted cities. Overflow. Overflow. I want you to lift your hands all over this room. God, I ask you. Ooh, I ask you, God, right now, by your Holy Spirit, to perform the will of the Father in this place. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, perform the will of the Father in every heart. Every head that hangs down, oh God. Every hand that hangs down. Every weary person, oh God. Every tired person that's tired of hanging on because they can't see your hand at work. God, I pray that their faith will overflow tonight and slosh out in this place. And that they will believe that there is nothing, nothing too hard for you. That you're able, oh God, and willing to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Prayer partners, I want you to come right away. Come and help me pray. Prayer partners, come. For those of you that are in this room tonight, that you say, Pastor Susan, I'm that person that's in the hole. I'm in the hole. I'm in that dark place. And I haven't seen God move on my behalf in a long time. But I want God to renew my faith tonight. Because I am going to fill up with faith. So full tonight that it's going to slosh out. And I'm going to walk in faith and not fear. My faith has been contaminated because of fear in my life. If that's you, you found yourself in a dark hole, in a dark prison. I want you to respond to this altar call tonight, and we're going to pray. God sent me here for you to experience overflow. In the name of Jesus, if that's you, come forward. Come on, church. God is in this room. God showed me while I was praying at my house two things. He showed me that there's somebody in this place in that dark hole with a family member. And I feel like it is a daughter. You've got a situation with your daughter, and it's dark. It's dark. And God says, tonight is your night for a breakthrough. If that's you, I want to know that it's you. And then he said, there's somebody in here financially. You've experienced a hole financially in your life, and you do not know how you are going to survive it. God sent me here to share my SOLD story, to build your faith, and to let you know that God is no respecter of person, and what he did for me, he will do for you. And God says it's going to turn around. It's a turnaround night for you. It's a turnaround night for you. If that's you and you are in a hole financially, I want you to get down here as quick as you can and watch God work on your behalf. This is the year to see God act on your behalf and to experience overflow in your life. Come on, lift your hands and let's praise. Praise God. Believe God. For those of you that have ambidextrous faith in this room, would you release that faith for these needs that are down here tonight? These people are walking through some very difficult places, and they cannot see that God is working on their behalf on the left hand. But they need us to bind together and unite our faith together so that they can walk out of here with an overflow of faith. Come on, lift your voice in this place. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord. Do it, Lord. Overflow in this place tonight. Overflow in this place tonight, oh God.
Walk into the room. Everything changes. He starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship. Thank you.
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.